Good to be in the house of the Lord, excited about what God is doing, and I'm so blessed to be able to come to you and share from the scriptures. We're in Matthew chapter 20. It's a parable about the landowner, but I'm going to use a different subject. I'm going to read verse 1 through 16 of chapter 20 of Matthew and explain a little bit as we go, and then I'm going to preach after that. So let's stand for the reading of God's word, Matthew chapter 20, beginning with the first verse of this chapter. For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning, that's 6 o'clock in the morning, to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, or that is a denarius, actually that was a good amount of money for a day's pay. These were contract laborers here. He sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, which is 9 o'clock in the morning, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. They're looking for work. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Now notice the first ones at 6 o'clock, they agreed upon a salary. Next, the people at 9 o'clock, the landowner just said, I'll do what's right with you. Again, he went out about the sixth hour, which is noon, and the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m, and he did likewise. About the 11th hour, he went out, and the 11th hour was 5 o'clock, almost quitting time. They worked from 6 till 6, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye idle all the day? All day idle. They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, day's work was over, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, that would be the one handling the payroll, he called the laborers and gave them their hire. He begins at the last unto the first. When they came that were hired after the 11th hour, that would be 5, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more, and they likewise received every man a penny. They all got the same thing. And when they had received it, they murmured. That's the ones that were hired first, worked all day. They murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. They've only worked 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, which is borne the burden and the heat of the day. And he answered them, one of them, and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that which is thine, and go thy way, and I will give it unto the last, and even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many shall be called and few chosen. That connects you to verse 20, the last verse of chapter 19. But many shall be first, and shall be many of the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Notice that those that were hired at the beginning of the day received a penny, which was agreed upon, a denarius. And those that went to work during the day, as the day progressed on, even to the last 5 o'clock, they only worked an hour, every one of them got a penny. They all got the same thing. I want to use for a subject, God is more than fair. You may be seated. God is more than fair. God has always been very generous with his power, his love, and his grace. And the story is very powerful. I remember when I was 12 years old. That was back a long time ago, I realized, but In 1963, JFK had been assassinated. Lyndon Payne, and boy was he a pain, Johnson, was the president. In 1965, Lyndon Johnson was president, and I remember a time growing up in Ozark where people would go down to the town square, the men would, and they would stand there on the sidewalk or chat walkway and wait for a contractor, concrete or lumber or carpenter, and would come by and they would be picked up and taken to work for a day. Times were hard. This is what Jesus is talking about. That the landowner would go down to the marketplace and he would find people that was willing to work. I don't want to get into this too deeply. I certainly know that a hardball in the weeds is hard to find. I'm told that lumber yards and Lowe's and different kind of building construction places are being overloaded by people coming that had crossed the border into the lumber, you know, that wanting a job. And they had had to shut down some of the lumber yards because of the swarm of young men trying to find work. I find no fault with that. They're wanting to work. What I find fault with is lazy bums laying at home on their couch living on their dad or mom's money. What I find today is people are trying to avoid work and want everybody to give them something for nothing. So I find no criticism for those that are trying to find jobs. Jesus gives us a beautiful story here about the landowner. And he's trying to get across a principle that God is fair. He's more than fair to everyone. At the end of this parable, everybody got the same thing. The one that worked all day, labored, sweat, toiled all day, got what God had promised them. The landowner had promised them. And the one that only worked an hour, the one that came in late, still got the same thing. And Jesus Christ is trying to show us something that's very powerful, and that is that God does what he wants to do. God is a God of mercy and a God of grace. God is for the underdog. He also cares about the upper dog. God cares about everyone. And when I think about this, you look at this, the first or the last. Which one you want to be, the first or the last? Well, the first is a great privilege to serve God. It's a great honor to work. The last is a good deal. Amen? First and last and everything in between equals up with the blood of Jesus Christ, everlasting life. When I think about this, I know that God is more than fair. He agreed with those at the beginning at 6 o'clock in the morning that I'll give you a denarius, a good day's pay for labor. And they went out and began to work in the fields of the landowner. He comes again at 9 in the morning and he sees others standing idle at the marketplace. And he says, come, go work in my vineyard. He said, I'll make it right. Whatever you come and work for me, I'll make it right. He didn't agree on a price. He just said, I'll make it right. He goes back at noon, and he finds people standing idle also at 3 in the afternoon. And he tells them, come and go with me, and I'll pay you whatever's right at the end of the day. He goes 1 hour before quitting time, and he finds some people standing idle. And he says, come work in my vineyard. I'll make it right, whatever you do. Well, it came time for payday, or actually paid every day. It came time to pay. And the landowner decided that he would pay the one that went to work at 5 first. He started from the last and made his way to the first. He paid a penny, a denarius, to the man that only worked an hour. He paid a denarius, a penny, to the man that only worked 3 hours. He made his way up to the man that started to work at 9 o'clock, and he gave them a penny, the same, a denarius. By this time, those that went to work at 6 in the morning thought, wow, this landowner is going to really bless us because we've worked all day. We are going to get a big paycheck. Well, it came time for their paycheck, and the foreman handed them a penny, a denarius. Boy, they were unglued. They were saying, it's not fair. We worked all day, and it's not fair. And the landowner said, didn't we agree to a denarius? Didn't we agree on a price? And they said, yeah, but. And he said, no. He said, I can pay whatever I want. It's my money. It's my gift. I can give whatever I want. And if I choose to give to the last just as much as I give to the first, it's my prerogative. It's mine. And when it's all said and done, everlasting life is given to all who come. I want to share with you just four simple thoughts, and I'm going to preach a little bit. The first thought I want to share is God is more than fair in His Word. Have you got any idea how dark life would be without the Bible? Have you got any idea how lifeless and hopeless life would be without the Bible? Without Jesus Christ? Without hope? Without God in this world? And the Word of God is more than fair. And Jesus Christ has given us answers to life. There's things that happen in life that we can't explain. I can't explain why a child dies. I can't explain why someone, their life seems to be nothing but failure after failure or sickness after sickness. I can't explain that. Because the world isn't fair. I'm going to agree the world isn't fair. The world's cruel. The world is not fair. Trust me, sickness is not fair. Tragedy is not fair. But God's Word is more than fair. God comes to us and tells us, it will be okay. There is nothing I cannot do. God can raise the dead. God can heal the leper. God can cleanse the leper. God can change the things. There's nothing God cannot do. And God said in His Word, if He be for you, who can be against you? Amen. God is fair in His Word. He tells us what we can expect. He tells us what we can expect out of Him. God is fair in His Word. He told these people at the first of the day at 6 in the morning to go to work. He said, I'll pay you a denarius, and he did so. But God is more than fair not only to the ones that start early. God is more than fair to the ones that come in late. Isn't that good? God is more than fair, number two, at the cross. God is more than fair at the cross. He took my stripes. He took my crucifixion. Jesus Christ took my sin and death. Jesus Christ took my hell. Jesus Christ took my death. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died on the cross of Calvary, and His blood was loosed for the sins of you and I and the sins of the world. And Jesus Christ agonized on that cross, beaten on that cross, His beard plucked out, His head beaten with a rod, scourged with a cat-o'-nine-tails, bleeding, broken. And His body, His flesh torn, and there on the cross He's bleeding and dying, and He suffers like no other man. And he's doing it on our behalf. God is more than fair. We deserve to die. We deserve our punishment. God is more than fair. God lays aside his scepter, lays aside not his deity, but he lays aside his royal robe. He comes to the cross of Calvary. He walks among us, the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm going to march up to that cross. I'm going to lay down my life willingly, deliberately. I'm going to lay down my life willingly and deliberately. And I'm going to show my love for mankind, because God understands that you and I could never achieve heaven without his mighty power and his grace. And it's good. The cross, the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is still good for those that stand idly in the vineyard today. There's still time for all to come to Christ. God was more than fair when he took the spittle upon his face. God was more than fair. Jesus was more than fair when he took the agony and the shame of that cross. He was more than fair when he went and died for our sins. Why? So that when things that are unfair in this life, like a child being taken, like a loved one being taken, that seems so unfair, because the world is unfair. Hear me, when someone dies of sickness, premature as a young man or a young woman, that's so unfair. It's so unfair that people die and suffer and go to the graveyard. It's so unfair. The world is unfair. But our God leveled the ground. Our God at the cross of Calvary, there's level ground. Our God at ground zero says, I'm going to change that. You can trust me. My word is more than fair. You can trust me. The cross of Calvary is more than fair. You will see your loved one again, because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Woo! The cross is more than fair. He went to the cross and rose again from the dead. Something else, God is more than fair in this unfair world. He's more than fair. I shudder to think of what it would be like to leave this planet without the promise of eternal life. And it makes no difference whether you were born highly talented or born highly wealthy, or you're born in the lowest poverty. It makes no difference whether your body is in excellent health or you're born with a birth defect. Makes no difference whether you're a child or whether you're a teenager or whether you're a senior citizen. God is more than fair. He's more than fair. The world is unfair. When people suffer, it's unfair. You say, yeah, but it's fair because man has sinned. Well, I don't know about you, but I wasn't at the Garden of Eden. She said, but preacher, it was carried on to Adam. I know that, but that wasn't my choice. I'm sure glad that stinking Adam got saved, because I want to talk to him when I get there. I'm going to say to Eve, how did you put up with this idiot? Adam sucked us into a mess. I was born in a world that's unfair. You were born into a world that's unfair. You were born to live, and pardon the gross statement here, but all of life is after birth. You were born to die. You were born in prison on this planet, only to end up in a graveyard or ashes, to be forgotten by those that come behind us or come go ahead of us and generations ahead of us and be forgotten. Hallelujah. Good news, good news. You'll never be forgotten because Jesus Christ loves you. He knows you. His memory is everlasting to everlasting. Jesus Christ will not allow not a one of us to lose. Even if we're the last one on the at the end of the list, God, if we're the last one at the end of the row, God will give us the same as he did the one that's in the front of the line. He'll give us everlasting life. God has made this unfair world livable, tolerable. And these people that felt like they ought to be paid more because they got on the boat early, you know, they started working early. Don't run God down because he's good to others. And don't put God down because you feel like you've been cheated. No matter when you come into God's vineyard, you still will get the same everlasting life. When they complained about the landowner giving the ones that came working as late as the 1 hour, they only worked 1 hour, they began to complain. Don't question God, be grateful. Don't question God, be grateful. And that's what this parable is all about. This parable is about don't get down on God because he's blessing others. Don't measure your life next to someone else. Don't look at what you have and what someone else has. Don't live a life where you're filled in your mind, I'm cheated. Don't live a life when you're filled in your mind, I've been abused and I'm misfortunate. I want you to know God is rich unto all that call upon his name. And I want you to know that no matter if you're at the bottom, God is going to bless you with riches and blessing as equally as Apostle Paul. They all got the same thing, everlasting life. And whether you come in to God's kingdom at the start, and I would strongly encourage you, coming in first is a great privilege. If I had my life to live over again, to be born again, to give my heart to Jesus Christ, I've said it before, I'd have got saved in diapers. I'm not proud of my past. I'm not proud of the years I've wasted. Oh, I'd love to have a testimony that I was a sinner, yes, but I didn't advertise it to everybody. That I wasn't in blatant sin, that in sin, yes, need a Savior, yes. But the greatest blessing that anyone in this room can have is forgiveness of sin, the mercy of God. Amen. Aren't you glad grace isn't fair? Grace isn't fair. Let me say right now, grace isn't fair. Grace is given to all of us by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When I think about they complaining because the one that only worked an hour got blessed. Verse 15, when they were complaining, the landowner said, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye an evil?" Don't give God an evil eye. You say, what is an evil eye? I don't know. It's probably a hairy one. But anyway, because I'm good. Evil eye is when you look down on God or you look down on someone else. That's an evil eye. You say, do you have an evil eye? Do you look down on me because I'm blessing these people? You've worked all day, but we agreed to a denarius. I've done you no harm. You say, are you upset with me because I give everybody the same thing? He said, is it not lawful for me to do with my own as I choose? So the last shall be first, and the last and the first last. For many shall be called and few chosen. I want to say this. Over time, many will be called. Over time, many will be called, but few will answer the call. When I think about this and I understand what Jesus is trying to say, he's trying to say God is sovereign. God can do what he wants to do. Amen? It's his party. He can bless whoever he wants to. I know there's a song negative to that. It's my party. I can cry if I want to. But anyway. But it's God's party. He can bless anyone he wants to. Aren't you glad God chose to bless you? Aren't you glad that God chose to bless the man on the cross, the thief, that said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Aren't you glad that Jesus with sovereign authority could say to that man when he said, Lord, remember me, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man never attended church. That man was never baptized. That man never served God. That man went straight to the cross for his crime. That man was a wicked sinner. But Jesus Christ said, that man is going to receive my grace. He was the last on the list, but Jesus Christ still saved him. You may feel like that you're the last on the list, but I'm here to tell you that you might as well be the first, because they're all going to be the same. Amen? Don't get down on God. Don't look at God, because God is more fair. The last point I want to point out is God is more than fair through the day. See, the work of the day, God was more than fair. The landowner showed up at 6 in the morning. Hey, I'll pay you a great salary, a denarius, a great salary. Come and work in my vineyard. He comes out to the place where people are standing idle, needing work, at 9 o'clock in the morning, says, hey guys, go with me and work in my vineyard. I'll make it right with you. He goes at noon, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he goes back 5 times and says, why are you standing here idle? Let me give you something to do. And he loads them up and takes them to his vineyard, and they work, and then he waits to the very last part of the day, 1 hour until quitting time. And the landowner shows up and says, why are you standing idle all day? And they said, because no one has hired us. And the landowner said, I'll hire you. I'll take you. Come work in my vineyard, and I'll make it right with you. Come time to pay, and he said, start with the one that only worked an hour and give him a penny, a denarius. Start with the one that only worked 2 or 3 hours, give him a penny. Start with the one that only worked half a day, give him a penny. Start with the one that went to work at 9 o'clock, give him a penny. And when you get to the last one that labored all day, that agreed in contract labor to go work in my vineyard, give them a penny too. Woo! Trust me, God is more than fair. He's generous. And God chooses to give us eternal life. I can't explain why sometimes people go through horrible times, but don't get bitter toward God, because his word is more than fair. I had a brother that was killed in a car wreck at the age of 23. I was very young. And my whole family has struggled with that. Sharon knows what I'm talking about, struggled with that, because we felt that maybe God wasn't fair. He's been dead over 50 years now. I'm here to tell you, God is still more than fair. I don't know what went on in his mind. I know that the day before he went around and squared up with everybody, that he knew in his heart something was happening. He went around and talked to Grandma Doss, went around and talked to others, and he did a special thing for me, worked on my car. As if he was trying to say, I'm going away. Now, he didn't know that, but down in his heart, he was saying, I'm going away. Well, when he was killed in the car wreck, we don't understand. I don't understand what was going on in my brother's mind. But I know this. Don't judge people when you have a God that is more than fair. Don't put someone down when you have a God that's more than fair. If there's murder, God's more than fair. If a man lives a sinful life till the day he dies and he turns to Christ on his deathbed, God's more than fair. A suicide, God is more than fair. Whatever goes on in your life, God is more than fair. We've got a God that cares, and you may come in the last hour, but you'll come in. That landowner knew that 1 hour wasn't going to give him much. He wasn't going down there at 5 o'clock to get workers to work in his vineyard to have a lot done. He was going down there for them. And he knew that what was in his pocket would be the same that he would give to everybody else. And I want you to know what God has in his pocket is the same that he gives to everybody else. He's a good God. Now, I'm not talking about rewards. We work for rewards. That's got nothing to do with it. I'm talking about salvation here. Amen? Let not your heart be troubled. As I said in the Baptist church last week, where it says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not means stop it. God's a big God. Stop it. You're down on yourself, stop it. You're worried, stop it. You feel guilt and shame, stop it. You're sinning, stop it. You're going through a hard time and you're finding fault with others, stop it, stop it, stop it. You're worried about your job, stop it. You're worried about your money, stop it. You're worried about this and you're worried about that, stop it. If you believe in God, stop it. If you believe in God who hung the solar system, if you believe in God who made the Milky Way, you believe in God who created man and breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, you believe in God that parted the Red Sea, you believe in the God of Moses, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of Abraham, you believe in the God of Israel, you believe in the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, stop it. Jesus came down here to stop it. Jesus walked out in the graveyard where Lazarus was and he said, stop it. Don't you cry. Your brother arise again. Stop it. Oh, well, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, he'll rise again. Oh, I know, someday. And Jesus Christ said, no. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And so there at that tomb where Lazarus lay dead in the tomb, Jesus Christ was saying to all the graves around the planet, to every graveyard, to every tear on the cross, stop it. You'll feel the grief. Yes, you'll feel the sorrow. But we don't sorrow as others sorrow. We know who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus Christ says to the graveyard, stop it. He says to the raging storm on the sea of life, stop it. He says to you and I that's worried and don't know what we're going to do and don't know where we're going to turn, Jesus Christ says, stop it. Let not your heart be troubled. Stop it. You believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you there you may be also. For I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Don't you worry. Don't you get fretful. Don't you get critical toward God. Don't you get down on God. Don't you look at God blessing others, feeling cheated. Don't feel cheated. Stop it. God's got big plans for you. Amen. Think about what I'm saying. They went down to the marketplace and just hung around to see if they could get called on to do something. And they did. And one stayed there, you know, some of them stayed there till 5 o'clock. It's about to get dark. They're about to give up. Let me say to you, put on your thinking cap. Why don't you hang around the church and see if God won't put you to work? Why don't you hang around the church? Amen? Because the church is where there's God business going on. Amen? Well, I want to hang out down at the lake. Well, you might fall overboard in the boat, and then you might be compelled to ask God to help you. You might be playing golf. You may be playing golf, and a lightning storm come up, and that golf club is a tremendous lightning rod. I don't know about you. I'm not a golfer, but if I were and the lightning storm come up, I'd be going somewhere. I'd drop the club to start with, and I'd be going somewhere. Yesterday, day before yesterday, we had one of them thunder boomers. Anybody hear that thunder boomer? You had to hear it because they heard it in Afghanistan. Thunder boomer. When we were growing up, they were all called thunder boomers. I went out to California and no one knew what a thunder boomer was. Nor did they know what a dirt berry was. Nor did they know what you're pulling my leg was. I told a woman in the foyer one time, I said, you're pulling my leg in Carson, Nevada. I said, you're pulling my leg. She jumped back and said, I wouldn't touch your leg. And I said, I wouldn't let you touch my leg. That thunder boomer went off a day ago? Maybe yesterday. Anyway, it went off. I mean, it went off. And lightning went across the trees by our house. Smoke come up from the neighbor's house. You could see the smoke. That thunder boomer was the loudest thunder I'd ever heard in my life, apart from Judy's scream. I'm telling you, she screamed. And to this day, I'm going to have to seek counsel. Man, she's a screamer. Things don't always seem fair. But I want you to know God has plans for you. And you may feel like I've wasted my life. You may feel like there's no place I can go. You may feel like you've done too much evil. You may feel like you've sinned too much. You may feel like you've done too little for God, or you've done too much in the ways of evil. Stop it. Stop it. Amen? Stop it. I've said this before, and I want to say it again because it's real important that you understand this. People get addicted to things. Amen. I am not addicted to Diet Pepsi. I am not. I can quit anytime I want to. I just don't want to. But people do get addicted. They get addicted to coffee. They get addicted to drink. They get addicted to, they like to be seen. They like to be noticed. The worst addiction of all is being addicted to therapy. Hello, I'm talking about rehabilitation, therapy. You're going to go somewhere and dry out and going to get rehabilitated. That's the worst addiction of all because you're doing it all the time. You can't be a prune because you're too full of it. You're bloated. Your answer is not some therapist. Your answer is not some quack that puts you on a couch. Your answer is not some psychiatric care. Your answer is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and your answer is to stop it. Amen? Now, I am not opposed to medicine that slows your brain down. Trust me, I've talked to some people, they need to be slowed down. Trust me, I know. And the more upset they get, the faster they talk. I'm okay with medication if it's needed. But I'm not okay living a whole lifestyle of constant turmoil. Jesus wants to deliver you from that. Stop it. Stop it. Now, some of you are wanting to know what a dirt berry is. It's a potato. I went into Wendy's the other day and I said, I want a dirt berry. The woman looked at me and said, what's a dirt berry? I said, you're not from around here, are you? She said, I grew up here. I said, then you ain't got it all there. She said, would you tell me what a dirt berry is? I said, it's a potato. Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Please hear me. God has plans for you. And you may feel like that you're a Johnny come lately and never make it. You may feel like that you've drugged your feet too long. You may feel like you've sinned and God told you did not do it and you did it anyway. God is more than fair. You may have told God, you may have promised God, I'll never do this again, but you did, and you did, and you did, and you did. But God's more than fair. Don't allow yourself to be defeated in your own mind. Allow yourself to be victorious in your heart where Jesus can take full control. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen? When my head gets troubled, I just send it on down to the heart. And Jesus just stomps the juice out of the trouble. He says, peace be still. You see, God has a damage control place in every Christian. You know what damage control is? That's what our United States needs right now. But anyway, you know what damage control is? God has put in the heart of every believer damage control. The promise that God is more than fair. The promise that God forgives every time. The promise that nothing is too big for God. The promise that you'll see your loved one again that's died and went on. The promise that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. The promise of eternal life. He's made that promise to all of us. And when damage control happens, when damage happens, send it down to your heart. Because Jesus is your damage control. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus made a place for me. He made a place for you. Amen. I'm telling you one thing, McDonald's ain't got nothing on Jesus. When I got saved, God gave me a happy meal. Amen. And God gives everybody a happy meal. Amen. We live in a day that you got ha-ha pills and boo-hoo pills and simmer down pills and slow it down, sink it down pills. Speed it up, slow it down pills. Pills, 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 pills. There's the fat pills. There's the skinny pill. There's the oblong pill. There's a triangle pill. There's a blue pill. There's a pink pill. There's a red pill. There's a gospel pill. And there ain't no pill like the gospel. Amen. A good way to define that, interpret that, it is gosh. It is a pill. A good pill. Stop it. You've come in here weary. Stop it. You say, I'm at the end of the line. Still got everlasting life. In life, God is fair. He's more than fair in life. Because in the end, everything will be made right. God is more than fair in life. He's more than fair. And he's more than fair. God is more than fair in our journey in this life. He's more than fair. All things work together for good to them that are the called according to his promise, that are loved by the Lord. All things work together to them, to good, to the called, to the loved of God. All things are good for us because Jesus Christ in the end will make it right. Amen? I'm so glad you came today. And I'm so glad to tell you that don't you fret. We all get the same thing. It's the same thing. Everlasting life. Get it out of your head that when you get to heaven, Jerry's going to have a mansion. It's huge and beautiful. And Don's going to have a shack. Get it out of your head. Get it out of your head that one person's going to have a bigger building than another. One person's going to have more gold and silver than another. Shoot, they paved the streets with that gold. Get it out of your head. You'll have rewards, but everybody will have the same joy. Everybody will have the same everlasting life. And everybody will have the same place that Jesus Christ has prepared for us. Amen. Not go into detail, but some of us will have bodies that shine brighter than others. Amen. So look at there. There's gold. That's Brother Brightside. Is that Jesus or is that Don Elliott? Shining. Bible says it will glow. Let it be white, so shine as the firmament in heaven. We will shine. Amen. That's not for moonshiners. That's for Jesus shiners. We'll shine. Amen? No one will say, there goes a dull one. Because no one's going to be dull. No one's going to say, there goes a dim one. But some might say, there's one that's really bright. Wow. The more brighter we become in heaven through our labor and sacrifice of the Lord, the more we will resemble the appearance of Jesus. That's what I want. Amen? You have to agree that this parable of the landowner is awesome. Because he's just simply trying to tell us that nobody's left out. God is more than fair. He's so more than fair that he'll save people at the last moment. God is so more than fair, he'll save people at old age. He's so more than fair, he'll save people that's just lingered around and all day long. God is fair all day long. And there'll be many called. Through your lifetime, there'll be many called through our lifetime. Have you ever stopped to think about it in the Old Testament and also in the beginning of the new church? So many people were burned at the cross for Jesus. They were stoned to death. They were fed to lions. And what shocks me is God is so sovereign that he's going to give me the same everlasting life they have. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. Now, they'll have greater rewards, I'm sure. But rewards is not the same as salvation. I've lived for Christ for several years now, and I've decided that my reward is when I walk away from the pulpit and I say to myself, Father, I say to the Father, Father, did I do okay? And the Father says in my heart, you did well, son. Amen? You did well. See, when I go out in the foyer, I'm not expecting handshakes and, wow, that's a great preaching, because I know that you're liars. But I love to hear in my heart God say, peace, peace. You did good. Amen? And this is what this parable is about. God can do with what he wants to do as he chooses. If God wants to save a guy on his deathbed, that's our God. God does anything he wants to do. Are you hearing me? God does anything he wants to do. God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. He answers to no one. And nobody in this room can say that you're like that, because you're not. You answer to someone. We all do. But God answers to no one. God can decide right now to do whatever he wants. God can decide to just wad it all up like a paper wad, throw it in the trash bin, and start over. He could do that. I'm glad he hasn't. Our God can do anything. Stand with me. We're going to give an invitation. I hope you enjoyed today. Don't ever feel like God has cheated you, because he hasn't. I had a little niece, 2 years old, Sharon and Marie, my brother Stephen and Kay's little girl. She had a tumor on her neck. Huge tumor. And that little two-year-old girl, we prayed that God would heal that baby. We sought God. We've had preachers prophesy that she was healed. And that little girl would hit her head against the wall, against the baby crib, to relieve the pain. The doctors told us that little Tanya was old enough she could understand. The doctor said, tell her that she's going away. Little Tanya, at the moment of her death, 2 years old, she reaches up to want her daddy to take her. Stephen reaches down and picks her up, and she hugs her daddy. She turns over and motions to her mommy, and mommy picks her up and she hugs her mommy. Then she pointed down to the baby crib. Mama laid her down, and the angel swiftly took her home that very moment. That's sad. But God's word is more than fair. That's sad, but God is more than fair. And it's things like that that tells us there has to be a God. It's things like that that tells us God will make things right. We just need to trust him. We just need to trust him. And I believe Daddy is with little Tanya now. And one day you'll be with your loved one too. Because God does make things like this right. The last should be first. The first should be last. first and last and everything in between, God is more than fair. And He'll do what He needs to do in your life. He'll make it right. Would you come today and begin this journey? I will not find fault with God. Will you begin this journey today and say, I will not harbor ill feelings toward God, because God is more than fair. I think I'm talking to someone in this room right now. You have hard feelings toward the past. You have hard feelings toward God. And I want to encourage you to come and say, God, I trust you. You're more than fair. You're more than fair. I don't understand everything, but you're more than fair. Would you come down here today and say, God, I want it to stop. I want this pain to stop. I want this hurt and this envy to stop. I want this anger to stop. Would you do that? Come on, the altar's open. Come play and sing.